Gospel of John, chapter 18. When Jesus went before Pilate, before he was crucified, it says in John, chapter 18, it says, let me start reading verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not go into the praetorium because they should not be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate, when he went out to them, said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which was spoken, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and asked Jesus, and he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered and said, Are you speaking for yourselves about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Or your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." First statement Jesus said there, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Listen, you serve a king tonight who has a kingdom, but he's not of this world. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus, let me put it this way, doesn't look anything like the kingdoms of this world. They're not corrupt. Oh, come on now. You don't have to worry about him cheating you. You don't have to worry about him talking out of both sides of his mouth. Come on. His kingdom is not of this world. Doesn't look anything like this world. Doesn't have anything to do with this world. See, people get it all wrong. They try to put Jesus in a box and make him look like everything else, like a president of a nation or a dictator or a ruler. They try to walk in the things of the kingdom and try to look at the things of the kingdom and think heaven is going to be like the United States of America. Think about it. Does a mansion have air conditioning? I'm just saying, we talk about comfort. Your comfort level comes into whatever culture you're used to. But comfort to some people may be to have a bucket to go to the river to get water out of. Have a river would be nice. Y'all with me? The kingdom of Jesus doesn't look anything like the kingdom of this world. You don't even understand. You really can't grab it. You really can't understand it because we look at everything with earthly eyes, human understanding, and it's completely different. So Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." You think about that. Jesus basically said, if my kingdom was this world, we would be beating you down right now. There'd be a fight and I'd be winning. Right? Remember when he was in the garden and they said, "Lord, do you want us to do this?" When he cut off the servant's ear and he says, if I wanted to call a legion of angels right now, I could. I don't know how much a legion of angels are, but according to heaven, but in Roman times, a legion was 72,000. Imagine just at a moment, 72,000 angels show up. In the Old Testament, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. You got 72,000 of these bad boys standing around the big old sword. You think things wouldn't turn? Listen to me. Do you think that in this world, just think about this world. The Bible says that there's going to come a time and a place when Jesus says to the angels, loose him to go and gather his elect from the four corners of this world. What do you think is going to happen then? What do you think the interaction is going to be like when angels come and have activity on this earth that's seen by men? They already have activity on this earth, but nobody sees it unless you see it by the Spirit. All the nukes, all the million-man armies, all the things that they could amass, and nothing compared to what heaven has. The power that Jesus has, the power that stays by him, he's not scared of fighting. Matter of fact, he's like, I don't want to fight you because there's not any challenge. He's so superior. He doesn't have any, there's no challenge. See, we try to put the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of this world in the same box like they're, like, you know, they're equal. Think about this. When I believe I have my figures right. When the first Gulf War took place, I believe I'm right, or it was the second, but anyway. When the Gulf War took place, Saddam Hussein's army was the fourth largest standing army in the world. And we went across that nation in 52 days and was at Baghdad. It was the fourth largest standing army in the world, and the United States totally, completely, militarily defeated the army. And was standing there in 52 days in the capital. Now, you read about the Romans, you read about the Greeks, you read about all those kind of things. Nobody ever did anything like that. Okay? That's powerful. But it ain't even touch, it's not even a drop in a bucket. It's like an ant fighting a tiger compared to the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of anything that this world has to offer. We sell Jesus short. We sell heaven short. We sell heaven short for the reason is we don't understand. And things that we don't understand, we tend to think they don't work. Right? I had a doctor tell me today that when he was in medical school, going through medical school, that they told him that you only have so many billion brain cells and that the brain cannot, you don't ever produce another brain cell. And they were taught that you got so many, you kill them off doing drugs, doing alcohol, do whatever like that. You kill off so many brain cells, that's it. You're just losing brain cells. And he says, and then we found out later, you know, years later, that wasn't true. That you do make brain cells. And they do reproduce. But the truth used to be, you only got so many. Y'all with me? Isn't it funny how we think we know something, but then truth tends to change. I don't know about y'all, but I want the revelation of what heaven, the power of the kingdom of Jesus. I want to have a greater understanding, but I want to be able to not look at the things. Do y'all realize that even our bodies, I mean, he made it and breathed life into it and became a living being. You think he can't breathe life into us now? But we doubt. We walk and we don't walk in truth because we're surrounded by, if you let me say, what the kingdom of this world is propagating at us at all times. Trying to convince us that it's truth. Trying to convince us that it's right. But the problem is we don't believe it's right. We don't walk in truth. The kingdom of heaven is absolutely based upon truth. Now listen to me. Let me clarify that. You're not going to find Jesus saying one thing and the next day saying, well, you know, I need to change my mind about that. He says, man, I am the God Almighty and I change it not. In other words, when he says it, it's so. God didn't have to go back and say, well, you know, it was a bad thing. I should have said that. I'm so sick of politicians saying, well, yeah, we did. That's, yeah, we did say that. But, you know, now things are changing. You know, no, that's not the way it is. Right? The kingdom of heaven is based upon truth. He goes on down here and he says in verse 37, Pilate answered and said to him, "You are a king then?" And he says, "You've rightly said I'm a king. For this cause I was born." Excuse me. Let me back up a little bit. Let me finish 36. Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore answered and said, "You have rightly said." Pilate therefore said to him, excuse me, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered and said, "You have rightly." Man, I can't read. I'm going to try it one more time. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." Finally got it. "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." Jesus said, "I am a king." King Jesus, who has a kingdom. Who has a kingdom that is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. Your Savior, your King. So many times in life, religion wants us to put Jesus in a box of a namby-pamby, stroking a lamb, tender Nancy boy who can't get anything done. Or you don't want to bother him, or he doesn't want to talk to you. You have access to the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth because you're a Christian, because you're born again, because Jesus lives in your heart. You have access to the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth and access to the King himself. Wow. Now look what he says. "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Everybody say truth. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Said, I've come into this world to bear witness of, listen, the truth. I've come to tell you how it really is. I've come to tell you what's really right. I've come to tell you how it is going to go down. No matter what the world says, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the kingdom says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what the nations say, no matter what whatever the news said, no matter what, I've come to tell you what really is the truth. Now Pilate's standing there looking at this man. At this point of Jesus, at this point, he had already been spit on, beaten, abused all night at this point. He's standing there, bloody, bruised, as he's talking to Pilate. He hadn't gone to Herod yet, when they really beat him, beat the flesh off of him. But he's standing there, and that's got to have been hard for Pilate to say, "What are you talking about? Look at me in my royal apparel. Look, I have the seal from Rome. I have the power to take your life from you." And Jesus is like, "You don't have any idea what you're talking about." He looks defeated. Right? He looks like he is totally defeated. He has no way he's gonna win. And Jesus said, I'm a king. So in other words, one of the things you got to understand about the kingdom of heaven is that the appearance is different than anything you've ever seen. You can't judge whether you're going to win or not by the way it looks. Right? Because Jesus knew he was going to win. They're crucifying him and he's winning. The devil played right into Jesus' hand. Have you ever been, you know, you like you're playing a game or dominoes, cards or something like that, and you start playing and it works out just right till you're kind of baiting that person along, and then they play their domino or whatever, and then you play just what you wanted to play, and it works out just like you wanted, and you're like, yeah, played right into my hand. Y'all probably don't do that. Right? And it feels so good. And that's what Jesus did. The devil played right in his hand. But what you see, listen to me. Isaiah 53 says, who's going to believe the report of the Lord? In other words, let me just paraphrase that a little bit and change it around. Who's going to believe in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to believe what the kingdom of heaven says? Because it don't look like what the kingdom of this earth says. Right? It doesn't look the same. It's completely different. Go back to John chapter 8. Y'all with me here tonight? I don't know what your situations are. I don't know what all's going on in your life, but I just here to tell you one thing tonight. Whatever it looks like, it don't have to be that way. In John chapter 8, verse 31, is a scripture you probably know. It says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples, indeed you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing truth, really understanding the kingdom of truth, it sets you free. When you really understand that the devil is not going to win, that sickness is not going to win, that discouragement is not going to win, that the devil is not going to win, that you win because you're in Jesus. When the truth of that sinks down on the inside of you, it sets you free. As long as there's worry and fear and guilt and shame and all these other things, the devil still has hold of you because you don't have truth that sets you free. He still got hold of you somehow. He still kind of, you know, got a little hook in you. You know, I tell you something funny. I didn't say anything Sunday, but when Pastor Alexi, Will Borland was got a hog hunt for him and took him on a hog hunt. And so they were out there. They didn't know what they're doing. Anyway, so they were rumbling around in the Texas Hill Country and Pastor Alexi got into a cactus. So he came back hobbling. It got him down on the leg somewhere. And so I laughed. I said, oh, great, brother. You get to take a little piece of Texas home with you. He was like, I wish I didn't have to take this with him, you know, with me. And they had to go pick thorns out of him all night, you know, I think. But that's the way it is with the devil sometimes. He gets just a thought, gets just a word, gets just a something, gets just a little illusion of something, and he gets a little something in you, and then that little something in you, you just can't, I mean, it's just nagging at you. It's just, you know, you're not dying from it. It's just a prickly pear thorn. You're not going to, you know, have to go to the hospital and have an operation. It's just a thorn, but, you know, it just irritants. It just won't leave you alone. It just, you know. Have you ever gotten a little bitty thorn in your finger, you know, and it's just, you can feel it, but you look and you think, well, of course, I can't see, you know. Nowadays, it's the glasses plus the magnifying glass trying to find whatever it is, but you feel it, you can rub it, you know when it pricks, you try to bite it, you try to get it out, you know it's there, but you can't see it, but it's just an irritation, right? And that's what the enemy does. He tries to get you out of truth into that little irritation so that that's what's bothering you. And you're so, there's 99.9% of the rest of your body's totally functioning okay. It's that little bitty tiny spot though that just got your attention, right? And you scratch it and you think it's gone and then all of a sudden you feel it again and it's just there. And that's what the enemy's doing. He's a tiny little bitty seed tick. It's an irritation. It's a tiny little old thing. It ain't going to kill you. But what he does is he comes in there to try to get you not to believe the truth. Not to believe in the kingdom of truth. Because if you believe truth, it would set you free. You follow me? wow, would it not be just spectacular to know the truth about everything going on in life? Think about that for a minute. Somebody says, well, did you hear about so-and-so? What I'd really like to know what the truth is. Because by the time it's passed through 3 or 4 or 5 people and got to you, you ain't got a slightest idea what the truth is. Hello? And get the slightest idea what the truth is. Right? Wouldn't it be nice if you just could, like you had some sort of, you know, truth glass that you could just always hold up into the situation and find out what really is just, oh no, that's not right. I've had people tell me things and I just say, you know, there is a truth glass that's sitting on the inside of you, and if it just doesn't bear witness with you, you just know it's not right. But if you hang around the kingdom of Jesus' kingdom enough, the kingdom of truth, then when error comes in, it just doesn't sound quite right. Just down here. Down on the inside of you. Because Jesus says, if you're my disciples indeed, and you're hanging around the word and whatever, you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. So you start to know truth, that something just doesn't quite seem right. And that person can try to prove it, they can do all these kind of things, but something down here just... something down here just doesn't quite set right. Folks, I'm telling you, I'd rather listen to my gut, the Spirit of God down on the inside of me, than I'd rather listen to anything else in the world, because I trust my gut more than I trust anything. I don't trust my head as far as I could throw it, because that's where the enemy gets a little thought in. And gets me thinking crazy things. And gets me looking and saying, well, what's going on here? Why is that? How's it going on? I don't know. And then I, you know, become paranoid. And then I'm looking at all this. And, oh. It's here, not here. Y'all with me? Okay, I got one more scripture here. Go to the book of Titus. If you don't know where it is, just start thumbing towards the back to... where you get to Revelation. It's gone. It left. No, there it is. Before Hebrews, after Timothy. Yeah, it's a little bitty one. Book of Titus, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading verse 10. It says, there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those who are of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. For one of them, a prophet of their own, says, Cretans are always liars and evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. In other words, there's people going around teaching false teachings, and he's saying, look guys, if you hear this kind of stuff going out there, if they're talking trash, go tell them to be quiet. It says that they may be of sound faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. So the only way you can turn from the truth is you had to have known truth. Right? You can't turn from something unless you've walked in it. Verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. In other words, They knew the truth, but they let the thorn get in them and the seed get in them. And as they let that seed of idol talk or whatever get in them, it started to, it says literally corrupt them, defile them. King James uses the word defile. It defiles them. And then they become so corrupt in their minds that they begin to change the truth. Right? They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. In other words, they're saying, oh yeah, I understand the kingdom of truth. I know the kingdom of truth. Yeah, I walk in the kingdom of truth. Got no problem. Yeah, I understand Jesus. I know what the kingdom is. I know how that works. I know what's going on. Yeah, everything's good. I know what it's all about. But then in works they deny him. So what's happened? Well, it's real simple. They've lost truth. They've lost the compass for truth. Now, I want to tell you something, church. It isn't very hard to get there. The very first verse is what keeps us on solid ground. To the pure, all things are pure. You know, I love Brother Ivan. And, you know, he's a great person, a great friend, a great mentor. And I was talking to him yesterday, and he was telling me that he was off somewhere at a, where was he? I don't remember. Somewhere. Been there for 3 or 4 days preaching at a conference. And that the pastors had got together and they were talking about some wrong doctrine that a person, another minister was preaching, and they wanted Ivan to denounce it, you know, to step up and to you know, stand up and, you know, denounce what's going on. And Ivan said, you know, guys, you've got it so wrong. Everybody's wanting to take this other guy's head off, but has anybody stopped and prayed for him? Has anybody stopped and prayed for the church? Has anybody stopped and even love this guy? Has anybody gone to him and just, because they want him to go like on the radio. It's like a big public deal, you know. And he says, has anybody talked to the man? Do we really know what's going on? Do we really know did he really say this? Is it really, what's his heart and what's going on? And has anybody done this? And everybody, no, you know, you just, and they were all just wanting, and he said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I wouldn't go to do something like that until I'd talked to him and knew what was going on. And I said, you know, think about this man's family and all of his church and all the people there. And, you know, yes, he, you know, if there's something wrong, it needs to be corrected, but you don't do it this way. And but everybody was ready with their pitchforks and their torches to go to, you know, burn him at the stake. And I thought, man, you're so smart. I mean, you know. You don't get caught up in that bull. You just, you know, go on. But see, to the pure, all things are pure. But when you get around people who've got truth in them that has been altered, then all of a sudden they corrupt you, contaminate you. I looked up the word defiled in the Greek, and it really means to contaminate. It means like you came in contact with something that contaminated you. Wow. Think about that. If you get around a non-truth, it corrupts your truth. Contaminates your truth. Isn't that crazy? So basically, you get around somebody talking trash, it's going to contaminate your truth. But to the pure, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure. You can stay pure. You just have to keep yourself pure. You got to stay online. You got to be on guard, because I'm going to tell you, the devil does not want you to stay pure. Amen? So this kingdom of truth is what we're going to walk in. And when we walk in that kingdom of truth, it's going to set us free. It's going to keep us free. It's going to keep us pure. You're not going to be contaminated. And we're going to know the truth. And we're going to get to be free. Amen? Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Amen? Look to the person on your left and right and say, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. 100% pure. Amen? Well, praise God. Well, glory. Guys, help me. Let's take up our offering tonight.